It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
One day I was praying, and I was praying and said, Lord, I need some money. And I wanted to travel somewhere, and I need the money for ticket. So I'm praying. And I'm praying, the door is open, the postman came, and he's standing. He knew that I'm praying, so he didn't want to disturb me. So he just, with a small pencil, he's hitting on my table so softly. And I'm ignoring, and I'm praying. The God told me, what you prayed for money, here is the money, open your eyes. When I opened the eyes, the postman says, I have money order for you. And you have to sign the paper so I can give it to you. The point I'm making, when you have a need, go to God. He knows your need. We sometimes fight and we sometimes argue, ask people. For example, you gave somebody money and you have a need. And that person didn't give it to you. I said, this is the time I'm going to choke his neck and get my money because I have a need and why cannot he give? The Bible gave the example for that. One man had a lot of debts, so he asked to his master, could you please forgive me? And if you forgive me, I'll pay your debts. Please let me go. And the millions of dollar debt. He said, okay, I forgive you. Go. Then he said, now I was in jail and I don't have any money. I give this man $10 one time. Now I need money, maybe for smoking or drinking. I don't know, he was craving for something or what. He said to this man, hey, could you give my $10? He said, I'm sorry, give some time and I'll give it to you. No, right now you give it, otherwise I'm going to put him in a jail or beat you up. And he started harassing him. Somebody said to the master, hey, you set this man millions of dollars free and let him go. Now, this man is not allowing that man for a couple of dollars. He's killing him. They said, arrest that man. Bring him back. Put him in the jail again. So God is a good God. When you have need, he will remind somebody. If you gave it to money to somebody, he will give it to you. One time again, I needed some money, and I needed only $10. Somebody said, you have this much amount you need. I was lacking $10. And it's a 9 o'clock night. And I'm praying, Lord, I need $10. And so please give it to me. And so here somebody knock at the door and say, Pastor Peter, you remember you gave me $10 two, 3 years ago. And I'm sorry it took so long, but here is your $10. So praise God. God knows everything what you need. And so here we learn that when God said to Peter, you are going to deny me three times, Peter says, no, if I have to give my life, I will give it, but I will not deny it. What happened? God's word fulfilled. And then Peter, the word of God says, he was heartbroken, he repented, and he wept. And not all ordinary weeping. Maybe he was beating on his chest, maybe crying. The man cries means it has to be so much heartbroken. Most of the people, men, they are macho, right? They take all kinds of pain. They take all kinds of suffering. Even though they're burning inside, they feel like crying. They don't cry. They are built up all these things. But when you cry, you release that anger, you release that frustration, and you feel good. That's why some ladies, they cry. And sometimes they say, I felt good when I cried. But more crying is not good. Because when you cry too much, weep too much, your bone get dried up. The word of God says, the merry heart is the best medicine. Rejoice in the Lord. When you have problems and this and that, don't cry. Just say, Lord, your word says you'll supply my need. Your word says you're going to heal me. Quote the verses to God. He says, word of God says, remind me what I said. And so we remind the Lord. Somebody says, you know, God knows everything. He says, open your mouth and I fill in. Ask and it shall be given unto you. God knows everything. But he wants to know how much you know about God. How much you know about his promises. And when you have some need and you go and look at those promises and you hold on to the promises, it comes true. You know that lady, what you call Joel Osteen's mother? She got the liver cancer or something. And that was very bad disease and she was going to die. Her husband was a minister. But she thought, if this disease, I'm going to die and doctor says there is no cure for it, I'm going to claim the word of God. And she took all the Bible scriptures and started saying, Lord, this is what your word says and this is what your word says. And so start talking to God. And so when you say, I'm not going to die in this disease, I'm going to live for God, God will keep you alive. God wants us to do his will. And so Peter, at this time, denied Jesus 3 times, but when God gave him the Holy Spirit, do you know the same Peter, same man, but completely transformed? Now when he was preaching, and the priest starts saying to him, we don't want to preach about Jesus. He says, I should listen to you or I should listen to God. And he starts saying, you crucified my Christ. So he was not afraid. We never see Peter denying Jesus Christ anywhere in the book of Acts. That same Peter started doing signs and wonders and miracles. And the dead people, he started raising. And he started doing miracles. So God gives us what? Second chance. God always gives us another chance. But the devil will tell you, you know what? You made a mistake and you made an unpardonable sin. God is not going to forgive you and you are doomed. What is an unpardonable sin, do you know? Somebody says, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Okay, let me tell you what the Holy Spirit says. Holy Spirit convince you about Christ. Holy Spirit convince you about salvation. Holy Spirit convince about Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then if you say, Holy Spirit tells me this, but I'm not going to believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, I'm not going to believe him as my Savior, that's the unpardonable sin. If you can do any other sins, those sins will be forgiven. But if you say, I reject Jesus Christ, he is not a son of God, I don't believe him, I don't trust him, and I go and worship Udu or worship some Hindu god or something, then you are doomed. But any sin you do until you are alive and you have chance to repent, you could say, I'm sorry, Lord. Even though somebody said, I don't believe in Jesus and I don't believe in anything and this and that, God can still forgive as long as you are alive. But if in your deathbed you said this and cursed God and you died, you're doomed. That sins will be never be forgiven. One man said to me, show me your Jesus. I said, what do you want to do? I want to kill him. So I said, well, I'll show you one day. And then you kill him. And I knew he did blasphemy against God. One day will come and he will know why he said it. And he was in the hospital and dying, a lot of pain. He sent somebody to my church, said, call Pastor Peter to pray for me. I knew the name, I knew the person. I would have said, let him die. But I went there. I said, sir, what can I do for you? Oh, I have so much pain. You pray. I said, can I show you Jesus so you can kill him now? He says, first of all, he said, I'll tie him in my bed and I'll kill him. So now you're on your bed. And can you tie Jesus and shoot him? He says, no, 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 I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Could you please pray that I can be healed? I prayed, God healed him. He came to church, got baptized, became a Christian. Yeah, man. So point I'm making, we have to know our God is a miracle working God. You cannot go against God. If somebody says like that, just like a Paul, the man was bugging him. He said, be blind for a while. Instantly then that man became blind. God has given us authority and power. Use it for the glory of God. and God will honor you. When the word of God comes to you, don't take it so lightly. Word of God has power. You use it and it works. When God says, I am the Lord that healeth thee, it's not going to change, right? If he says, I am the healer, he will heal. He will deliver. He will set free. When Jesus Christ was preaching, he said, oh, he is not an ordinary man. He preached with what? Power and authority. We are the same. We belong to Jesus Christ. I got this example of Peter. And Peter was, I told you earlier, fisherman. Heavy duty, strong, healthy man, deny Christ in front of little woman. When I was young, I was like skinny. I was afraid of people, I was afraid of everybody. But when God saved me, I'm not afraid of anybody. I go anywhere, I preach the gospel. So, just like Peter, God has given us grace. When I got saved, the masling, big mask, is a Molbi, they call priest, invited me to preach in his mosque. And when that time I was born again, I went and preached and they wanted to kill me. And they were all swords and everything and they were all ready to kill me. I had a brand new Bible, somebody gave it to me. I thought it's a Bible, but that was a raincoat. And I took the raincoat. I said, bye-bye, I'll see you tomorrow. And what happened? My shoes, I took it off. So I'm talking to them and I put the shoes and I'm going backward. Okay, see you tomorrow. And I went and the bus stop people were waiting for me. And I thought, I forgot my Bible. And the other man says, Brother Peter, everybody came and whispered to me, they are going to kill you. And God saved you. Why do you want to go back there to get killed? I said, I lost my Bible. He said, don't worry, we'll give you a million Bibles. Don't go back. And when I said, I'm going, and they made a chain that I would not go. But when I go backward, they stood there, and they are shivering themselves. Where are you going? And I thought they are making fun. But next day, the man who I kept the Bible there, he went to the post office. And he said, the man of God came to our mosque and he left his Bible. Can you recognize? The man opened the Bible and my name is printed in the Bible. You know, printed. So he said, oh, that's my pastor. He was the stenographer there. And this Muslim man has to come there all the time. So, don't tell your pastor. We wanted to kill him, but we will never kill him again. Because he is so powerful. We were not able to kill him. So I got a message. Then next day morning, they were having an airport, repair airport, and there was a man, contractor there, and standing there. So one person came and said, in our mosque, somebody came and we wanted to kill him. So this person hired them. He said, come here. Who was that guy? We said, he had a Bible, and he left the Bible. He said, that's my pastor. So he said, I'm sorry, we are not going to kill him because, you know, our priest says, don't touch him. So God told me not to be afraid. And that man comes and tells them, tell your pastor, we will never touch him because we had all the equipment to kill him. So God didn't allow us to kill. We will not kill him. I was praying. And when I went there, the man said, hey, come here, inside. I said, where are you going taking me? I'm taking you inside. So I went there. He said, do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to kill you. I said, I have a brand new bicycle. That's the only bicycle you can get. But I don't have anything else. He said, I'm going to kill you. I said, okay, give me some time to pray. Before I pray, is there any person sick in the hospital? He says, my wife is dying in the hospital. Can I go and pray for her? Then I can come back and you can kill me. He said, okay, you go. I went. The lady was in the hospital. I prayed for her. God healed her. I came to their neighborhood. I said, you're not going to kill me? No, you are a good man. We cannot kill you because you did great things for us. I was just telling you, Peter denied Jesus Christ 3 times, but when he filled with the Holy Spirit, he got the power of God. So let's be courageous. Don't be afraid. God is with us. God's word is with us. And God's word is so powerful. He says it's sharper than what? Two-edged sword. Book of Mark, chapter 15, starting from verse 1.
And straightway in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate.
Now here we see, when he say, and straight away in the morning. Last week, if you remember, where Peter denied Jesus Christ three times, and he was there where the fire was burning and they were warming themselves. So it was a morning because rooster crow. So whole night they were discussing with Jesus and having so much problem. Maybe they kept him overnight in the prison or what. But here we see early in the morning all the priests got together and they are counseling and they are finding out what we should do. And so they already figured it out in their mind. They are going to ask the Pilate to kill him. If they were reading the prophecies, go to the book of Psalms, chapter 2, verse 2.
The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed.
They took counsel against the Lord and against his anointed one. Now, if these people were reading the Bible, because they're supposed to be scholars, readers of the Bible, teachers of the Bible, and they studied the Word of God, and these scriptures never came to their mind. They are sitting together, taking counsel from all these chiefs and high priests and all those people, and trying to kill Jesus Christ. Though here he says they were against the Lord and against his anointed. Once somebody sitting there to kill somebody, they are not against only that person, they are against God. Because God hates killing. God hates somebody to, you know, put to death. So that's why the Word of God says, do not kill, do not murder. That was the commandment. These people knowing the commandment, and they are not killing ordinary person. They are killing the anointed one, the Christ. And that's what the Word of God is saying. Let's read Mark chapter 15, verse 2.
And Pilate asked him, art thou the king of the Jews? And he answering said unto him, thou sayest it. And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, answerest thou nothing? Behold how many things they witness against thee. But Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled.
See now here, the high priests, the scholars, Pilate, all those people are asking him questions, and some of them accusing him. Now, we are ordinary people. If somebody says to us something we didn't do, we get so much anger. And why I can take this kind of abuse? I didn't do anything. I'm not going to take this thing. But Jesus, the Word of God says, he kept quiet. The Word of God says this was prophesied. Let's go to the Isaiah 53, verse 7.
He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth.
This prophecy fulfilled at that particular time, because they were trying to accuse him, trying to irritate him, but he kept his mouth shut. Verse 6.
Now at that feast he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, will you that I release unto you the king of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them.
This Barabbas was the killer, robber. I don't know how many people he murdered, how many people he destroyed. And when Pilate is asking, once in a year, we release somebody, can we release your king? They start thinking, we have no king. We have only king is Caesar. So they are asking, give us the wicked man, the man who is bad to the society, and they are asking, give us Barabbas. Now, can you imagine at that time, if Barabbas is listening to these things, what would happen to his mind? This is my golden opportunity. I am in death row. If they kill Jesus, if he's the Son of God, he'll be okay. But me, I will be never be released this kind of situation. Only Jesus released him. Barabbas might be crucified also, because they used to crucify the criminals. So Barabbas got relief because of Jesus. The same way, we are not thinking about we are Barabbas, but in the sight of God, we are all sinners. If Jesus didn't die, we will be dying for our sins. Okay, verse 12.
And Pilate answered and said again unto them, what will ye then that I shall do unto him whom ye call the King of the Jews? And they cried out again, crucify him.
Now, Pilate is telling these people, you call him the King of the Jews. Now, they might be not admitting he's the King of the Jews, but the Bible teaches them. So this thing was not secret to these people. They knew he is a future king. But why they kill him? They said, he's getting more popular than us. So get rid of him. That's what, just like a competition, a business competition, and somebody has a business next to him and he's doing better, then they want to destroy his business. So they wanted to kill him. Let's go to the book of Micah, chapter 5, verse 2.
But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is, to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting.
The ruler who is going to come, he's not a new ruler. He's from the old, from everlasting. So Jesus Christ is not like he came to this world and he was born. He is Alpha and Omega. He's from everlasting to everlasting. And that's the king was going to come, and he will be born in Bethlehem and rule over Israel. But they didn't understand that kind of prophecy at that particular time. And so they wanted to destroy him. Okay, let's go further. Verse 14.
Then Pilate said unto them, why, what evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, crucify him. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them, and delivered Jesus, when he had scourged him, to be crucified.
See, now here also Pilate playing a game with these people. Now Pilate came to know this Jesus Christ is innocent. And he already said to the people, I don't find any fault in him. He even washed his hand, he said, I don't want any guilt. And his wife, the Bible says, she convince him, she got some miracle from Jesus. He's not saying what, but she was blessed by Christ and she got dreams and vision about Christ that she should not be allowing her husband to do any kind of judgment on him. But still this person saw the public going in one way and he's like isolated. Those people even start saying, if you don't crucify him, and if he's the King of the Jews, and you're helping the King of the Jews, that means you are against the Caesar. Caesar is our government, and if you're supporting another king, mean another party, you are not belong to our party. So we will be kick you out. Now today they vote them out. But that time they will say, okay, he is the friend of the King of Israel, the Jesus Christ. And so he is not for Caesar. And he did not give the Jesus simply in their hand. I was just thinking, why did he do this? He scourged him, means he punished him. He gave him a lot of punishment. You saw that passion show, how much he got beating, and then he gave it to the people's hand. So he didn't have to do this, but why did he do it? Let's go to the book of Isaiah 53 again. verse 4 to 5 and verse 8.
Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken.
See, this was prophesied, that Jesus Christ took your sorrow, your pain, your sickness, your disease, and with his stripes we are healed. We learn today, or we learn now, that 39 stripes they put it on him. If they do 40, then they cannot beat him again. So they will beat him for 39 times, take a break, and start all over again, 1 to 39. And so they can beat him as many as the time they want. So why 39? So now we see all the sickness and disease comes in 39 categories. Any disease, new disease pops up, and then they analyze what category will go. One of the 39 category that disease will fall. And so 39 stripes he took. That means each and every sickness, disease in the world comes or will come. Jesus died for those things. And with his stripes, we are healed. Go to the 1 Peter chapter 2 and start reading from verse 21.
For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed.
See, he's also explaining why Jesus suffered. He suffered for you and for me. And he said, now he set us an example that we can follow his steps. St. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. That means sometimes we can do something harm to somebody, but we are born again children of God. Then we have to think, I am crucified with Christ. My hands are not my hands anymore. My body is not my body anymore, because Jesus Christ purchased me on the cross of Calvary with his precious blood. So I am belong to Jesus Christ. So he suffered for you and for me. He did not have sin. He did not commit any sin, but he was crucified for you and for me. Verse 16.
And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band. And they clothed him with purple, and platted a crown of thorns, and put it about his head, and began to salute him, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him on the head with a reed, and did spit upon him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him.
Can you imagine? These people were trying to make fun of Christ.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.